What makes you laugh?
I'll tell you one thing that does not make my children laugh. It is my jokes. I get a lot of this. Oh, Dad. Right? The fact is that we all laugh at different things, and we laugh in different ways. Maybe you remember this scene.
Some laugh too fast. Some only blast. Ah! Others, they twitter like birds.
You know you're as bad as he is.
Then there's a kai what can't make up their mind.
Doesn't that just make you feel good? I love that movie. So let's do a scientific experiment. Let's try it. Now, humor me, okay? First, let's just smile. Try it. The corners of your mouth up. Yeah? Let's level up. Try just a giggle. Just. All right, let's take it all the way. Let's laugh. Oh, yes. Doesn't that just make you feel good? Scientific research has proven that when you smile and laugh, it helps you feel good. It's good drugs that God has given you, and it is, in fact, good medicine. But laughter is interesting, because laughter isn't always associated with humor. When I was in fourth grade, I was bullied a lot. And I will tell you, the taunting laughter of those kids still echoes in my ears sometimes. You know, some people have a nervous laughter when they have to do something that's really intense. They have to have that conversation they don't want to. And then there is the laughter of the cynic. Dad, really, I'm going to clean my room, I promise. That's a good one. Or there's the people who look around and they say, God is real. God is love. There's hope. That's a good one. We're talking about laughter this morning because we're looking at a story in Genesis chapter 18 that is really a story about that kind of laughter. And the reason we're looking at this story today is because our whole series this fall is called Real People, Real Faith. We're looking using this tool called the narrative lectionary that takes us from Genesis all the way through the story to Jesus. And we want to look at real people and how God encountered real messed up people just like you and me, and how God was with them and worked through them. And the part of the reason why we're doing that is because last spring you took a survey as part of our call process where we asked you, what do you think is important? What draws you to Easter Lutheran Church? And one of the things that you said is that we believe God is calling Easter to be a beacon of hope to a new generation is part of the reason you're here. And so we want to frame this whole fall around how God used those founding people in our faith, in all of their messiness, to be a beacon of hope for us. And how maybe we can learn from that so that we can be a beacon of hope for a new generation. So we want to dive into this passage in Genesis chapter 18. If you have your Bible, you can open it up. Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. It's a story of a couple, Sarah and Abraham. And in this particular story, they're visited by three strangers who end up being God. But you may be wondering, wait wait a minute. I thought last week Pastor Brandon preached from Genesis chapter 2. How did we get to Genesis chapter? You're right. And thanks for paying attention. So in order to understand the story in Genesis chapter 18, we've got to roll back. So this is the moment when I say, previously in the book of Genesis. So we need to, if you've got your Bible open, go back a few chapters, because we need to start back in chapter 12, because this is really the story of the very founding couple. Because the Bible is not the story of the whole world, it's the story of one family, Abram and Sarai. And what's really interesting about this story is that it starts when they're old. If you're in your 70s, please don't be offended by that. But they're in their 70s. And it's not that they're too old. It's that they're too old to have children. And they haven't had any children yet. And in that culture, it was actually a source of shame for a woman to have not had a child in her life. And for Abram, it meant that this was the end of the line for his family, because he had no heir to pass on his family to. So this is Abram and Sarai. And in chapter 12, God shows up in Abram's life. And the Hebrews called God revealed himself as Yahweh, which simply means I am. And God made a promise to Abram. He said, Abram, you will be a great nation. Now, what does it take to become a great nation? You gotta have kids. So Abram's like, okay. And then God promises, not only will you be a great nation, but you, this nation, I'm going to bless your children. And through your nation, I am going to bless all nations. Abram, you and your family are blessed to be a blessing. That's so important that I want you to say that with me. Would you please say that? Blessed to be a blessing. That is an outrageous promise that God made to a couple in their 70s who have not had children. And the rest of the story is how Abram and Sarai, as real people, struggled with their real faith. Like, how can they even believe this? And so a couple of sordid things happen. But then in chapter 15, God revisits the promise. And God says to Abram, remember, I am your shield and your great reward. And Abram's like, yeah, Lord, about that. I have no heir, remember? The only person that is going to get my stuff and my inheritance is Eliezer, who's a servant in my household. And God says, oh, Abram, look up at the sky. Count those stars, Abram. That is how many children you are going to have. What? And then Abram falls into a trance, and God does something that's really freaky. He takes this animal, cuts it in half, and this floating, smoking pot travels between them. We think it's weird, but in that culture, it was how they sealed the deal. It was a sign of an unbreakable contract. God is telling Abram, I am going to do this. And Abram's like, okay. And then in chapter 16, Sarai is really struggling with this. She's like, I'm not a woman. I can't understand what this must feel like, but month after month, she waited and wondered, and month after month, she was disappointed that she never had a child. And then finally that time came in her body where she knew, I'm never going to have a child. She's like, how can God keep this promise? And so she says, hey, Abram, I've got a plan B for God. I've got a backup plan. Why don't you take my maidservant, an Egyptian woman who's fertile, make a baby with her. And Abram's like, okay. And so they do, and poof, they make a baby, and they name him Ishmael. But this was not God's promise. And Ishmael became the father of all of the Arab people. And Sarai became jealous of Hagar, and it became a mess. And it was the best soap opera you've ever watched, right? And then in chapter 17, God says again to Abram, Abram, listen, I am El Shaddai. Now, El Shaddai is almost always translated in our Bibles, God Almighty. But there are many Hebrew scholars who believe that this is actually a feminine picture of God, a goddess of fertility. Now, either way, what God is saying to Abram is, look, Abram, I created life itself. Don't you think I can deliver on my promise? And I mean it so much that I'm going to change your identity. No longer will you be Abram, but you will be Abraham, because Abraham means a father of nations, and Sarah means a noble woman. And then God, you know what Abram did? He went, ah! That's a good one. It literally says that he fell on his face and laughed at God. And then God gave him a sign, the sign of circumcision, another blood covenant. I mean this, and this will be a sign of my promise to you, but it's not Ishmael. Sarah is going to have a son. And that brings us to our passage today. I want to read this passage in kind of a fun way. We're going to do it like a reader's theater. I want this half of the room, you get to be Abraham. And this half of the room, you get to be Sarah. And I'll be the narrator and the three visitors, okay? So here we go. Genesis 18 goes like this. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. Abraham, do as you have said. I got the easy lines. Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah. Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servants who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Do you see what's happening? Strangers show up. Abraham and Sarah extend hospitality to them. And then they ask this question. Where is your wife, Sarah? I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife, Sarah, shall have a son. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself. Why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son. Oh, yes, you did laugh. Isn't that interesting? That's how the story ends. So we come back to our big timeline. Abraham and Sarah are visited by Lord in this group of strangers. And Sarah laughs at God's promise. And they say, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Now, I don't know where you are today. I don't know what kind of laughter is in your life. If you're laughing right now with true joy, praise God. But maybe today, The laughter that's in your life is the laughter that's that nervous laughter that you just don't want to face your reality. Or it's the outright laughter of the cynic. Is God really loving? Ha! That's a good one. When we finish the story in Genesis chapter 1, the amazing thing happened. Sarah gave birth to a son. And you know what she named him? Laughter. In Hebrew, it's Yitzhak. We pronounce it Isaac. And God took Sarah's laughter of cynicism and transformed it into the laughter of joy. And the truth that God delivers God's promises. God has made a promise to you. Do you realize that? Every single one of you, God has made a promise. And the promise comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus made this crystal clear to us. God looks at each one of you and says, you are loved. And I am with you. And I am for you. No matter what it is that you're going through today, I don't care what you have done in your past. I don't care what people have told you about who you are. None of that matters, because this is God's promise to you. That no matter how much pain you have in your life today, God is with you and God is for you. And God wants to transform your laughter into the laughter of hope. Do you believe that? Because unless you believe that you are actually loved by God, it's hard for you to love yourself and to love your neighbor. And our children need to hear this every day. Our children need to hear that they are loved unconditionally. But if you don't know it about yourself, it's so hard to be a beacon of hope to a new generation. So my prayer for you is this, that if you're wondering if these things are true, that you'll talk to somebody. Talk to a friend. Talk to your life group. Join a life group. Call a pastor. Because the hope of the world is when you believe that you are loved by God. Let's pray. Gracious God, your promise is ridiculous, and yet it is so real. Help us to grasp that you can transform anything into hope. We thank you for this promise. In Jesus' name, amen.